there, it will be catching some movement.
Okay. And thank you for the introduction. And I do love milk. But in the summer, when we white are in the sun, we turn pink. I also like pink lemonade.
Amen.
No, we're not here to make jokes. We are here to exalt our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to be in the presence of not just you, but also the Lord. So may He have His will.
Amen.
So let's just give a short word of prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time of fellowship. You see, Lord, as I stand before this crowd, Lord, and you know the hearts of the people. You know their hearts' desires. You know what they need, Lord. And then you have me as the tool or the vessel, Lord, that you want to speak through this morning, Lord. And we just lay this in your hand, and may your spirit just flow freely in our midst, Lord. And let there be no bounds, no limits, no hindrances, nothing whatsoever, Lord. Just bound every spirit, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. And you have your complete will and way right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 There's life is full of things. You have your difficulties and challenges here. We have our differences, different challenges where we live. And we can make our challenges our hindrances. You say, no, I can't because I have a hinder in front of me. So you stop. You don't move. Does the Lord want us to stop? Or does the Lord want us to move? I think you know the answer. Yes. There was a word spoken in the church, a prophecy. Earlier this year. And there was one sentence that was said. Take no breaks from the journey.
Amen.
And watch.
Amen.
And that sentence pricked my heart. It made me search myself. Lord, have I been taking breaks from you? Have I put my life on pause? Have I taken time out from the Lord? And I have to admit, yes, I have, Lord. And for that, I am sorry. But it's no hindrance. It's no excuse. You just take off the pause button and you confess and you move on. Amen. Yes. And I want to start reading in Acts chapter
8.
If you have your Bibles, this is our dear brother Philip, who was in a revival in Samaria. And when we come to the book of Acts, chapter
8,
is where we'll take our text. Yes. Now, verse
26.
So I can read one verse and you read one verse. We do it that way? Brother? Yeah.
Yes.
Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert."
Umungelo wakwalesa atile kuli Filipo nokutila ima kabiye ku south elio munshila uleya kuli ku Jerusalem ku Gaza ichili chiswebebe.
So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship.
Elio ali imanokuya, lero muneni, ai kumenyo mtu wa ku Ethiopia, umuyuniaki, uwa alina maka, kumfumu ya Candace, ku Ethiopia. Uwa kwete amaka mufia fiuma elio aishire ku Yerusalemu nokupepa.
I know where Ethiopia is now.
At wasitu alishiwa ku Ethiopia yala.
We landed there yesterday.
Atinena alishiwa nomba Ethiopia ku yala yala pantu oko twafikirire mairo.
So this story here
atiridi ashiri
had a great importance.
Yali kwete chikalamba chikankala kuline.
Of what Ethiopia is today.
If your Ethiopia yali lelo.
Amen. Verse 28. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." In this situation, Philip was taken out of his revival meeting in Samaria. Go to the desert. I have a job for you to do. What job? Philip didn't know. But he was led by the Spirit of God. And it was only desert. Why have you sent me to the desert, Lord? But then he came across a chariot. And he heard a man, like we read, reading out of the prophet Isaiah. And he realized right away, this is my destination. This is where the Lord wants me right now. So verse 30. Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?"
Filipu aishire ali munokya mkumanya au mfuile aleverenga mwibuku ya kwa akasema Yesaya nokumwipusha bushe ole mfuiki shofo aleverenga.
And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?"
Eto atile kuti nae tunaishiba shani kanofio muntu mbi antungulula.
And he invited Philip up into the chariot with him. Verse 32. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth."
Mkuipaiwa. Edo tai nga tai na mukamo. Ai shire tai kanwa kakwe yo.
In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.
Ati mku mfishwa ubi, upingu shukwa kwe walisa pokuwa kuliena.
Reading his Bible, not understanding what he's reading. Who is this talking about? And here was someone in the chariot with him. Not only did he have the answer, but he'd been with him. So we read, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?"
Uyu mwini ki aswike Filipo no kutira. Nde ipusha. Pusha uyu muntu alela uyu kasesema. Alela nshanya fieka. Nangula alela nda pa muntu isa.
Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him.
Filipu aishire isulakano kakwe. Mkutampila pa mmale mbwaya nukushimikila Yesu Christu kuliena.
Now Philip brought the revival to this chariot.
Nomba Filipu alisa leta shutumuko.
The spirit of the Lord was upon him.
Mpashu wako alisa wali paliena.
And something was stirred into the heart of this eunuch. He was convinced. His heart was bubbling. He's been here. He has come. He has gone. And he has died. And he is resurrected. And he now ascended up to the heavens. The whole gospel was laid out before this brother. And this was shortly after the day of Pentecost. Joel's prophecy has already been started its fulfillment. Where the Lord said, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. So all flesh, what does that mean? Who is then left out? No one. And that touched the heart of the Ethiopian. And then as they went down the road, as we read in verse
36,
they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He believed with all his heart. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. So he said, time out. Not to do his own will. Not to take a pause from the Lord. No. Pause the chariot. Something very important is going to happen now. I am going to become a complete child of God. And he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since the day of Pentecost was already there, Philip also learned him Acts 2:38, the full verse. And what does it say? It says, repent for the forgiveness of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then what does it say? There's a promise added to that verse. And you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything was completed that day. So they went down in the water and he baptized him. You may be seated. Yeah. So the Ethiopian, he had one hinder. He did not know. He read of a Messiah to come. But he didn't know he had already come. He met Philip. He told him, the Messiah has come. So now, he knew. That hindrance was now gone. And when he And when he was convicted, he knew, well, from what the brother is saying, we need water to complete baptism. So now the hindrance was water. But then there was water. Let's do it. Let's do it right away. I want to be baptized now. He didn't have to go through a whole ritual of lectures. He didn't have to climb steps of levels so that he could be good enough and be ready enough to be baptized. No, nobody's good enough. Who is good? No one. But God. There's only one good one, and that's God. We are all born in sin. We're all guilty. We're all headed towards an edge. And on the other side of that edge is hell. Complete separation from God. Everybody's heading that direction. No matter how good we are, we cannot stop it. There's only one that can block that entrance. And what's his name? What's his name? Louder. Jesus. Amen. He was the one that was able to stop your and my direction to eternal hell. Eternal separation from God. And we have water. We baptize, right? Yeah. When your heart is convicted. And if you are already Holy Ghost filled, if you already made your decision to follow Christ, can there still be hindrances? Or is it open, always open? A free path. Well, it could be. But we are human, right? Like I told you to start with. When the words came, don't take any breaks from the journey. Still, I had to search my heart. And I had to confess. Lord, sorry. I have taken pauses. But I don't want to. But obstacles come in life. And we find ourselves being disobedient from God. We struggle. Life can be hard. And becoming a Christian, following the Lord Jesus Christ, does not take away that there are certain things we have to go through in life. But is it to tear us down? Is it to break us? No, it's to build character in us. Amen. So we can be a greater witness. And out of tests and trials, God works miracles, right? Deliverances. And it becomes a testimony. Amen. And if you contain and you keep it to yourself, what is ever hindering you in your walk with the Lord Jesus, you need to be broken free from it. You need to be set free. Now the Lord has your soul, right? But you can still give away little by little to the devil. And the Lord is calling upon you. Stop what you're doing. Come back to me, the Lord says. And I will not only set you free, but I will make you free. So you can maintain free and continue on your way and be a blessing to others. What does Jesus say in John chapter
8?
From verse 31 to 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in me, in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So if you abide in my word, to abide in God's word, the brother sung here now, he abides. But he wants us to abide in his word. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus was speaking these words to some Jews, to some Pharisees. And they answered him, we are the Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you then say to us, you will be made free? They did not think they were in bondage. But every time they responded to Jesus' preaching, the words that came out of their mouths proved that they were in bondage. Because Jesus' words did not reach their hearts. It pricked their hearts, yes, but not to conviction, not to bow down and say, surely you must be the Messiah. Instead, surely you must be of Beelzebub. Surely you must be a devil. So it showed they were in bondage. And they enjoyed their bondage. I have the law. I have my scroll. I have my synagogue. We have our temple feasts. And we are fine. We do our rituals. We follow all the 600 rules and regulations of the Old Testament, thinking we are okay. But when truth was standing right in front of them, they only saw a hinder. They saw a man of flesh and blood. They saw someone who was born outside of marriage. You're just a stray. Mary, Joseph,
Maria, Joseph,
they thought he was conceived under fornication.
Yeah.
So he had a bad reputation. So you see how God works? We cannot look to the flesh. We have to look through the flesh and listen to the words of the Master, because those words were full of power. In verse 34, Jesus answered them, Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. But a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So even though to these Jews of the law, Jesus gave them the opportunity, let me make you free. But no. If Jesus came to you, do you want to be made free, brother? Do you want to be made free, sister? What would you say? I would run to the master. I'm coming. Please set me free. Free me from all the bondages. Free me from this sinful world. Oh Lord, when that day comes, when you say their time shall be no more, and you call upon your people, and you say, come up hither. Just like John in the book of Revelation, he was invited, come up higher, and he was able to see. What was he able to see? He saw a new heaven. He saw a new earth. He saw the river of life. Living water streaming from it. And he says, it's my destination. Nothing is going to hinder me from reaching that destination. Yeah. And that day is coming for all of us. So will we be ready when that day comes? I pray we will. So, as you have realized, this message today, it's about hindrances. I'm asking you, what is hindering you? As I ask myself, Ariel, what is hindering me?
Amen.
Whatever it is, it has to go.
Amen.
There can be no hinder. There is a channel up to our Creator. Ever since the day of Pentecost, when Jesus opened the way, the veil was torn. We have free access. Let us not clog up that access, right? With our own self-made thoughts, or thoughts that others push upon us as well. Because you can have good excuses for stopping up. Because Brother John here, he disappointed me. He did something bad to me. I cannot fellowship with him. He's my hindrance. And when you have enmity between your brother or your sister, and you allow that to grow, make space inside of you, you're clogging the access.
Amen.
You are, right?
Amen. Amen.
And sometimes we don't even know it. I remember, this is some years back, I had hit a wall. I cannot break through this wall. I was praying, God, I cannot break through this wall. There's a wall in front of me. I need that wall to go. What, no matter what I did, how much I pray, how much I read, I have to read the same sentence over and over and over because my mind is not following. Lord, what's hindering me? And the Lord put a face of a brother in front of me. And I thought, no, 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 no,
no.
Not my fault. He should come to me. It's not my fault. But what more could the Lord say? But I had to wrestle with it for a while. Because inside of me, I have something called pride. I don't like it. But I invite it in every day. And I have to cast it out every day. Pride is a terrible thing.
That's true.
I was wrestling pride. And then I knelt down. Said, Lord, I'll go. I'll go. So I went to the brother. And I said, brother, I'm sorry. And he said, for what? Well, I could name all other things. So I started naming things. And he said, I don't think about that. And the burden lifted off me. I could hug the brother. But the Lord did something special before I went to visit him. Because I realized I didn't love the brother. And I thought he was avoiding me. But I realized I was avoiding him too. So there was an incident with him and his family. They were in a vacation home in Turkey. And in the middle of the night, someone was at the door. The wife heard power tool, like a drill. And they were drilling off the, what do you call it? Yeah, the wrenches to the door. To not make any noise. Because they were going to break into the house and steal. And I think criminals in Turkey are a bit worse than criminals in Norway. And the brother saw the shadows in front of the door. And he went and he held his hand against the door. So when they had taken off the wrenches or hinges, he was trying to hold it back. But there were three big guys in front of there. He could not hold that door against three big guys. So when he told the testimony, they couldn't get in. And then the wife saw her husband holding the door, and she saw the shadows in the other. She just let out a scream. And they dropped everything they had and they ran. And the brother is convinced it was not my strength that held the door up. It was an angel of the Lord. And when I heard that story, I said, of course, Lord. Of course you sent an angel to watch over his family. Because you love them. I was saying this to myself as I was listening to someone tell this story. And as soon as I said, "You love them," I said to myself, "And I love them too." And I was just filled with a divine love. And I wanted to go and hug the brother. And you know, I can't make that up. I can't do that. Only God can do that, right? And we serve a living God. We serve a God that resurrects people.
Amen.
Also a God that reconciles people. Reconciles people. That's also a resurrection. When you turn from hate to love. Those are two very big opposites, right?
That's right.
Now, who here wants to be hated? Nobody. Who wants to be loved? Everybody, yes. We also want to be loved by our brothers and sisters, right? But then we also must love our brothers and sisters. Yeah. And that's sometimes hard work. Especially for a prideful heart. But when we cast pride aside, the hinder is gone. The way is open. Go and reconcile. Amen.
Amen.
And what does it say about us as Christians? In Galatians chapter
5.
I'm just going to read a few verses. Because when the hinder is gone, we feel free. We feel at liberty, right? And in Galatians 5, verse 1.
Galatia 5, verse 1.
I'll wait for you. Are you there?
Yes,
yeah, okay. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Ati wimini ne wangu. Mubuntungwa omo Kristu atubika. Elio, winga sendwa nakabiri kuka kwa kuba muri mkole.
Now here, Paul
apa Paulo
and the believers
na wasumina
also in Galatia
muri Galatia na kwena,
they had obstacles.
Bad kwete fyale bachingirira.
A lot of people came to the truth. And not everybody would let go of everything, of their traditions, right? So even though there was no demand from God anymore of circumcision, some still held on to it. But Moses said, we must. Yeah, but Christ said, there's no more we can do. We are free to worship.
Amen.
We don't live by the law. Christ came and fulfilled the law.
Amen.
But sometimes it's easier for men to get a law book, to get a book of rules, regulations, do's and don'ts. This I can do, this I cannot do. We want to be ruled by someone. But we're not called to be ruled by someone. We're called to live for Christ.
Amen.
And he makes us free.
Amen.
But what will bind us and hinder us sometimes, we will get to it later. Like, take verse 5. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything.
Lelo muri Kristu, nangula waliputulwa, nangutawa putulwa, muchetekelo, tapawa.
Verse 6.
Okay.
But faith working through love. Yeah.
Lero chetekelo, chibombela, upita mkutemwa.
Now, you ran well.
Mwari putuka wino.
Who hindered you from obeying the truth?
Nanu wakuchingile, tetwingasunga ichinka.
Because this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. And then Paul is teaching them how just a small little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's verse 9. Yeah. So it doesn't take much to disturb a man's heart. One word is enough. One sour or evil word can bring you from here to rock bottom. Right? We've all experienced it. So, little by little, God is taking away hindrances from our lives. Or like a message I spoke on the first daily devotion. I called it without or no excuses or without excuse. Because I found myself making excuses. When the Lord wanted something from me. Like I said about the testimony with the brother. No, he has to go first. God didn't call him to do it. He called me to go. And I would not have been here today if I had not obeyed God when with the testimony I shared in those series. And I can share the testimony here too. It was a Tuesday night. I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning, could not sleep. And just two words came to my mind in English. Normally, I hear word Norwegian. But it was two words. It said, no excuse. So here God was working on my life to take away a hinder in my life, to prevent me from being disobedient in whatever challenge would come from then on. And I thought, is that in the Bible? So I started searching my English Bible. And then I found, yeah, it's in the Bible. But the thing was, after I heard those words, I picked up my phone
And
there was a message from my father. I will not make it home in time for service tomorrow. Can you preach? And normally I could have easily said, no, no, I'm sorry, I have not prepared. It's 1 a.m. I have to get up in 4 hours to go to work. And I'm able to shower and eat. And then go to church. There's no time. That was my excuse. Right? But before I read the text message, the Lord already told me, you have no excuse. So at 1 a.m. I got up in my chair. And I prepared a message for the next day. And I titled the message, no excuse. And I find a lot of examples of myself in the Bible. I find the prophet Jeremiah, a prophet I admire. God called him, and God told him, nobody will listen to you. Not the priest, not the king, not the people, nobody. But I'm calling you. And he said, but I'm too young. I can't speak. That was his excuse. He was too young. He could not speak well. But okay, God, I will go. So Jeremiah was obedient. The prophet Moses, when God called him, I can't speak. Send someone else. If you're going to send someone to Pharaoh to bring 2 million people out, you need at least someone that can speak. Not someone who will just go there and before the big, great Pharaoh and say, please, let my people go. But that's all he had to say. He didn't have to be bold. He didn't have to puff himself up and say, let my people go. No, because God was the power. Moses was not the power. Moses only had a stick with him, a rod. That's all. And a cape. And not a Superman cape, no. A regular cape, like a garment. And his brother Aaron. So even though he had an excuse, he could not speak well, God listened to him. Okay, to make you feel a little bit more comfortable, I'll send Aaron with you. You be God, and he be the prophet. Moses was not God. But God is showing the people how he operates. Yeah. And even though there were twice as many, still, it was a big obstacle. To bring 2 million people that the Egyptians were depending on for their wealth, for their labor. And Egypt was the mighty kingdom. Amen. So they're all over the Bible, these examples. Same thing with Gideon.
Chimochina Gideon.
Also very humble.
Na
but he did not let the excuse stop him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So later that year I visited a church in America. After I had my experience with trying to make up an excuse. And I had not prepared anything because I did not come as a minister. I came to visit the church. And I came in the door on the Wednesday night. Been driving car all day. My mind was all about enjoying worship. Greeting people I haven't seen in 20 years. And I met the pastor in the hallway. And he said, "You're preaching tonight." And I didn't even have time to think.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to say yes or no.
Yeah.
Because the first word that came to my thought was, what do you think that was?
No excuse.
No excuse. So, okay. I have no excuse. Plus, I also have the message. So, God is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And pointing fingers is no use, right? No, you're hindering me from my walk with the Lord. No. Or it's because of you that I'm not doing so well today. No. What happened in the Garden of Eden? When Adam was hiding. Eve was hiding. Did they actually think they could hide from God? When God would come in the cool of the day, as it says, Adam knew. In the cool of the day, that's when my God comes and speaks to me. But now, things was different. We have sinned. We have been disobedient. Now here, God can't see me. We hide from God. There's no hiding from God. Did Adam have an excuse? Eve made me. Eve gave me the fruit and I ate. Yeah. And God came to Eve. Did she have an excuse? The serpent seduced me. So I ate. And the serpent was cursed. But so was Eve. So was Adam. Even though it came through a channel that started with a thought from the devil, we can't blame our spouses. Wives, husbands, yeah. Yeah, we can't blame. And there's no one to blame but ourselves. Yeah. They knew exactly what God told them. What to do. What not to do. Amen. Let's go to the book of Psalms. I like the title of this psalm. It's called the joy of forgiveness. Let's just start from verse 1 here. Blessed is he. I didn't say the chapter?
No.
Okay, sorry. Psalm 32.
Amarumbo 32.
We read the first 5 verses. Are you tired?
No. No.
So we read from verse 1. Yeah. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. And in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you. And my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So I'll just stop there. How does it feel to be forgiven? How many here today knows the feeling of being forgiven? Yeah. We have been forgiven, hopefully, by a brother or a sister. Our wife, our husband. Yeah. Or a colleague or a friend. It feels good. It lifts you up. It takes a big burden off you. So even though the brother that I asked for forgiveness from didn't think he needed to, he did not have had to have any experience with that situation at all. Maybe it did nothing to him. But it did everything for me. I was a free man. I could dance along and be grateful to the Lord. I was light as a feather. I could fly. I'm free. And sin, what does sin do? It says it's a load. It's like this brick, extra on your shoulder, carrying bricks on your shoulders all day long. We don't want that, do we? We want to be free. Yeah. And that's amongst brethren, right? But think about Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Now, in my testimony, I was always in church. The day I was born, next Sunday, I was in church. My whole life. Going to meetings. Going to conventions, Sunday school, or private Sunday school with my mom at home. So I was fed with the gospel from birth.
It
made me gain a lot of knowledge.
And
when I came into my teenage years, I asked my father, what more can I learn? And he gave me things to read. And I learned more. More knowledge. And what does knowledge do to you? Well, it makes you smarter, right? It's good to know things. So when people come and ask, you can answer. And I remember there was a newly convert that came to our church. And he started asking me questions. And we just talked all night long. I could give him scriptures. I could give him prophecies. I could line up things that would happen in the of prophetic scriptures. You know, it's good to know. But what's most important? Because I always realized in my own life that my knowledge puffs me up. You think you are special. You think you know more than others. And for a human mind, it's worth a lot. But for God, it's worthless. God, He wants a humble heart. He wants someone that submits under His people. Not that my knowledge couldn't do any good. It sure can. But it must be used in the right way. But being in church my whole life, I always learned that I was a Christian. Because I've always been in church. I've tried to be a good boy to my mom and my papa all the time. But I remember I was sitting in the church service and I was 15 years old and the preacher said from the pulpit, and you sitting here today as a teenager and you've been coming to church your whole life, that doesn't make you a Christian. And that sentence pricked my heart like a knife. I got angry. Are you talking to me? You saying I'm not a Christian because I have been in church my whole life. And I am a Christian. I was baptized when I was 10 years old. I've never changed directions. But from then on, I started to question my position with God. My mind had reached an age of maturity where I could no longer just hold on to my father's coat and make it to heaven. No, you have to make your own decision. And so I wrestled 2 years with that, with those words. And then I realized, now I'm going to make a decision for myself. And it was like I drew a line here on the, like this. in the spirit. And I was 17 years old. I said, Lord, I'm crossing this line now. Now I have decided. I will follow you. Not for what my mom says. Not for what my daddy says. But now I know. I want to live for you. And the Lord showered me with his blessings. And I praise the Lord for that. But was I then a finished product? Ready to go? No. God had still a lot of work with me. And because of my upbringing, which was a very good upbringing, I still had not left my pride aside. So I remember asking the Lord. I forget how old I was. I was in my 20s, I think. I said, Lord, I actually don't think that I've had like a real conviction yet. I've experienced you. I know you are real. I know I've been baptized. And I know you have filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I'm a child. I'm your child. I also had that. God had convinced me that when my life on earth is over, he will take me home to glory. I was not questioning that. But I was questioning my bad attitude. Because since I did not go out in the world, like a lot of church people, a lot of pastors' children, they when they want to find out for themselves, they say, I want to go have a taste of the world first. I want to try to drink. I want to party. I want to do this, I want to do that. As people, they have lived their lives with chains on. I didn't feel that way. I had no desire. And because I didn't never have that desire, the prideful thought that came to my mind was that then I must be better. Then I must be better than the ones that wants to go out to the world. So I realized at a point that I really don't know what real grace is. I really don't know the great sinner that I am. So I asked the Lord in a church service. I was playing the bass guitar. And I said, and just this thought came to me. And I just asked the Lord, Lord, show me the sinner that I am. Show me the need I have for your mercy, Lord. Because I realize these are not good thoughts. When you think about yourself as better than others. And then it was like something, just a knot started to twist and turn in my guts, in my belly. And I had to lay my instrument down. And I fell to the floor. And I was in pain. I was in agony. And I was like like this on the floor. What is this? And I realized what I've asked the Lord. And I saw my own sin. I saw how filthy I was. I saw how terrible I was. And I saw how I was no better than anyone. And how desperately I was in need of God's grace and mercy. And the Lord took me out of that with an understanding of God's grace. And I said, thank you, Lord, for showing me this. Thank you for showing me that the way I live my life, trying to be a good boy, I actually lived the experience of an old Southern gospel Christian song. And this song goes like this. Good old boys don't make it into heaven. Good old boys don't wear a crown. You can take it from me. I used to be a good old boy. Because you think if you're a good boy, what's your name? Okay, are you a good boy? Yes. Are you daddy's boy or mommy's boy? Yeah. We like our children to behave, right? We wanted to be good little boys and good little girls. Yeah. And of course, God wants us to behave too, right? But he has no favorites, does he? No. But what God wants us, he wants us to live our lives so we can be as good of an example as possible. So that with our lives, we can draw others to Christ. Right? And you don't draw people to Christ by being a good boy and a good girl, do you? No, by bringing the gospel. You know, by being honest. Not tell how good you've been. How perfect your life has been. Know how much you've needed Christ only to be able to survive. Yeah. So the Lord, you know, he leads us in certain ways and directions. And we learn something every day. Yeah. And thankfully, I'm still learning. I'm still making mistakes. The Lord is still forgiving me for my mistakes. If I humble before him. If I cry out to him. Lord, forgive me. Then he forgives me. But sometimes, yeah, I forgive you. But there's something you must do. And it's not for God's sake. It's for your own sake. Or a brother's or a sister's sake. So we can make things right that we have done wrong. So we can be free. Amen. So who wants to be free today? Amen. So, if the Lord has touched you, if the Lord has convicted you or pricked your heart, let him know it. Yeah, because he has the answer for you. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to turn around from the wrong path and back into the right path. And if you once have crossed this line, there's no going back. Do you know that? if God, if you cross the line and said, Lord, from this day on, I am your son. Or I am your daughter. And you obey him. And you baptized
in the
name of Jesus. And he fills you with his Holy Spirit. Then there's no going back. It's not an option. You must always have your back towards that line. Of course, there can be some sideways. We may not always go straight. But get back on the straight path. Because straight and narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So with those words, I will close. So I hope something was said that could encourage you. Amen. God bless you. Amen.